Welcome back to StadiaCast. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. What's going on, Lloyd?
Not much, man. It is a lovely Sunday. Even though I was up late watching my darn Winnipeg Jets lose, it's a lovely Sunday because we get to talk to all these fine people on StadiaCast.
That's right. And before we get started with the actual show, if you are listening to this and you're like, I want to be there for the live show, then we do record this live every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern, and we do that over at our YouTube channel, nerdnest.tv. If you go to nerdnest.tv and subscribe there and turn on the notifications and all that stuff, you'll get notified next time we go live. Although, it's not just the show that we go live for. Like, earlier this week, you did a Hitman live stream, right?
I did. Part of Stadia Bash, a bunch of collection of streamers. It was a whole week-long event in the evenings, usually three to five slots per day. And I did a 9 p.m. Central Hitman event. A lot of people showed up. It was a heck of a lot of fun. And it was fantastic to play through some more Hitman 3, which is just such a phenomenal game that I'm really sad that I didn't give it its time of day when Hitman 1 and 2 came out as part of this redone World of Assassination type style of game.
Yeah. So before we actually get into the show, if you are with us live and you want to support the show, super easy to do. You can use the Super Chat feature to make sure that we see your message. We reply to each and every Super Chat at the end of the show. We also have that join button down below. If you click on that, it'll tell you all of the ways that can benefit you. It also benefits us. And then finally, if you are watching this on YouTube after the fact, like it's no longer live, there will be an applause button down below. And we thank you, everybody who uses that button as well. There's a lot of buttons on YouTube. But let's talk about the buttons on our controllers. Let's start talking about Stadia. Lloyd, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get a tweet out furiously this so that you can retweet it.
That's okay. Go ahead and tweet your tweet. I'll talk about what I've been playing.
I tweeted, you can retweet while we do it. I've been playing a fair bit this week other than Hitman 3. I'm still making my way through that game, which is fantastic. But I've been checking out two new games. I'll talk about Tohu first, because that is a game that I've been playing, and then we can talk about the other game together, Bill. Tohu is this really charming puzzle game. The art style, it's like a hand-drawn art. It reminds me a little bit of Missionarium a little bit. It also reminds me of the Canadian Film Board greats of The Cat Came Back and all that other stuff. It has that kind of art style. And you're going from one flying island to another flying island trying to solve puzzles, collect items that you'll need for other puzzles. And it's just really weird. Your little character, a little girl with like this antenna, she can turn into a robot and lift heavy things. I'm assuming that as you get further in the game, you learn other skills or whatever. Just a super, super charming little puzzler on Stadia. And it's out for, it's out now. It came out this week and it's on sale for the first little bit. So you'll be able to save a couple bucks if you pick it up. I think it cost me $18 Canadian, I think. So it's probably just under 15 for the US, somewhere in there. Maybe it's closer to 20. Numbers and prices are hard because we are, usually you see US prices, I think of them in Canadian prices, and then I get confused because I'm easy to confuse.
Yeah, we were talking about Madden and like the price for something like that, and I think you said something along the lines of $60, but you were talking about, I was like, well, no, it's 30, and you said, mm-hmm. Well, no, it's, well, I was talking 60 Canadian or something along those lines. So right. He and I always run into that issue because I live in the US and he lives in Canada. But mm-hmm. So when I look at Tohu, and this happens to me a lot with this style of game. I love hand-drawn assets and stuff like that. I love the look of the game, but I know that I'm going to get frustrated by some puzzle that I can't quite figure out. Is that probably accurate?
I haven't run into anything super puzzly. It's more of a trial and failure puzzle game instead of trial and success, because you're trying a bunch of different things. You're clicking little buttons And it there's this like this alien language. So you really don't know what it means. And it pops up a little sign that says symbol, symbol, symbol. And it's like, oh, thank you for the help there, symbols. It's more of one of those puzzle games where you're basically just like throwing everything kind of at the wall and seeing what sticks. So yeah, I think there is the potential for some confusion and frustration there. But it's so darn cheery that I was fine during my first look that I put up on. You can check it out at nerdnest.tv if you want to see more about that game. But also I played a little bit after, and there's a lot of, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then you do something. It's like, I am the smartest man alive. and then you, then 5 seconds later, you're stuck in another puzzle and you're not, you don't feel so smart.
All right. So let's move on and talk about what has to be the biggest release this week. Madden 21 is now finally on Stadia. They announced it a couple of days before it came out. They're like, here's their release date, just in time for the Pro Bowl. Although, is the Super Bowl hasn't happened yet, right?
Correct.
When is that today?
No, I think it's next weekend. Isn't
okay.
It? Let me double check. I'm not positive on that. No. Yeah, the 7th.
Okay. So seventh. It seems odd to me that they would mention the Pro Bowl and not the Super Bowl, but whatever. You obviously played it. You did our first look, and I've been playing it as well. I have to say I'm enjoying myself. So you know how like when you get a first down and they bring up the big block, like they change the whole screen and they're like, move those chains, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I see tons of artifacting in those scenes. I don't see any artifacting when you're actually playing football. But when you switch from one, from like the actual, you know, you can see the field, you can see the players on the field, and then you switch to that, move those chains. Google Stadia is like struggling to understand that quick switch of every pixel on the screen. And I see lots of macro blocking and stuff like that. But other than that, it's really gorgeous and runs incredibly smooth. It was, and I'm gonna talk about the audio in just a second. Actually, I'll talk about it now. Like you and I talked about PGA 2K, whatever, the golf game, and how calming and relaxing and amazing the commentary track was.
Right.
This is so impressive. And I have not played a Madden game since like Sega Genesis, so I don't know. Maybe it's been like this all along. Back then it was just John Madden saying, boom, and then that was it. That was the whole thing. The commentary is insane. My wife was coming up the stairs, and I'm sitting here, and I was playing a match, and she looks in, and she sees I got a controller, and she goes, oh, you're playing sports ball. And I said, yeah. And she goes, she can't see the screen at this point. And she says, well, they got the audio right, because it sounds like you are watching a football game on TV. And the dialogue between the two color commentators, they are like, none of it feels contrived. None of it feels repetitive. Like, I didn't do all of the tutorials, so I hadn't quite figured out how to kick. And so I biffed my first two field goals, and, you know, they were, you know, talking about how my kicker was screwing that up. And then on my third field goal, that's right, three touchdowns, everybody. I'm like Al Bundy over here.
Three touchdowns in one game.
Yeah. But then on my third field goal, I got it, and they were like, oh my goodness. Well, he seems to have gotten out of his slump. Those first two didn't do too well. But now he's hitting it right between the posts or something like that. And I was just like, I was blown away by how good that is. The audio is amazing. And then my wife walks into the room and sits down next to me, and she looks over, like she's just kind of looking at her phone, and she turns her head and looks at the screen, and she goes, oh my God. Like, she couldn't believe how good it looked. She was like, it doesn't make me think, are those real people?
Right.
But it was completely unexpected. And she was, as somebody who doesn't play a lot of games, she was really impressed by how it looked. What are your impressions so far of the graphics and the audio and stuff like that?
Yeah, I the whole macro blocking on the move the chains and other little kind of interstitial things. I've seen that, and it makes me wonder if they maybe just recorded them all in 1080p at like super high compression, and they're using those same assets on all versions. Because I haven't noticed that anywhere else. The game looks beautiful. Like it looks like it's a full 4K 60. Because you can see when you're on like the 50-yard line and you kind of look up, you can see to the back of the stands. Like it is really well done. The audio, like you said, the commentary is just absolutely fantastic. I've been playing sports ball games since the Super Nintendo. Not every year. I don't buy every iteration. I haven't bought Madden probably for about 5 years. It's been a very long time because I just didn't have anybody to play with for the reason. Usually I buy it because I joined the league with some buddies or whatever. And I haven't bought it for a number of years. And there's multiple versions of every single thing that these color commentators would say at different tones, different wording, different whatever. It's really well done. It's not like the old times where it's like, oh my God, Sanders made such an amazing play passing to Robinson or number 75. None of that is there anymore. It's like you're watching the official color commentators and play-by-play on like NFL Sunday or whatever. They do a really, really good job. The audio ties everything together. Like I did the first look with audio turned off, and then there was like a 10-second little sneak when I went into the tutorial. They had like a sneaky audio on the field in the tutorial, so it got
you
claimed.
Mean music.
What did I say?
You just kept saying audio.
Audio. Oh, sorry, I meant music. That's right. So the music, they snuck in like a 10-second little snippet of a song, which got the video claimed, and I had to edit it and mute it and do all that garbage that you have to do sometimes on YouTube. But then I played a couple matches after, a couple games after, and it's just amazing how it brings you from one section to the other, and everything has like audio and colors and animation and hype and the crowd going wild. It is really well done. I'm very impressed on how well Madden is. We knew kind of what to expect because we did see the Star Wars game hit Stadia, and it didn't suck. It looked really good and performed really, really well. But this has me really, really excited because of the Frostbite engine that is used for this game. There's many other games at EA that use Frostbite, and if Frostbite is running this well already and kind of the first big bombastic release, this makes me really excited for future Frostbite games, including FIFA, including maybe NHL. I know NHL has a very small audience anyway, and then the audience of that small audience that is also on Stadia is just incredibly small, I'm sure. So maybe that game won't be there this year. But it's getting me excited for other EA releases. This is huge for Stadia. And the free weekend is fantastic. That means anybody right now can go and pick it up. If you're pro, play, see how it is. If you like it, you can buy it while it's on sale. What's really going to tell the tale is 2 weeks from today, if there's still thousands of people that are playing when you go to get a multiplayer match, that's a good thing. The one thing that is disappointing about this release is there isn't PC Stadia crossplay, because that would probably remove a lot of the worries. Because I've seen people that are worried that there isn't going to be an audience to play with, and that is a valid worry on Stadia because it's a new platform and there's fewer people that play on Stadia than any of the other consoles right now. Hopefully over the next year or two, those worries start disappearing because so many people are playing on the platform.
Yeah, I 100% agree that you didn't say that it would happen. You're saying you hope that it happens. I think it will happen. I think eventually those worries are going to go away as Stadia gets a bigger and bigger foothold. I think in 2 or 3 years, like you're going to be hard pressed to find people who don't have a game on Stadia at some point. Madden is really, really impressive. I've had a lot of fun with it. I'm going to continue to play. I'm irritated with the season mode. I just I just want to play the matches. I don't want to do any coach nonsense. I just want to go in and be like, okay, I am, we'll say, the New York Giants, and I got to play every New York Giants game this season and see how far I get. But I don't want to do the nonsense where I create a character. I don't want to do the nonsense where I have to pick three people to send them to training or something. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to play the game. And it seems like the only way to really do that, and maybe I'm missing it, because the menu system in Madden seems way overblown and confusing.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe I'm missing it, but I just want to be able to say, okay, here's my game. Let's play the next game. Let's play the next game. And I don't want to have to do that manually in exhibition mode. So, like, that's my one gripe with it, is that it has that stuff. But as a guy who, I don't know if I said this before the show or during the show, because we were talking before the show started, as a guy who doesn't even know when the Super Bowl is or who's in it, I'm enjoying playing this. And I know that there's a lot of people who hate EA because of them running Madden into the ground. I have no idea. I just know that, you know, I hit the ball, or I hit the A button and I hike the ball, and then I throw the ball or I run the ball. And sometimes I get to pick a dance in the end zone, and sometimes I don't. And that's good enough for me. So I'm enjoying the game, and I'm glad that it's on. I'm glad that it's on Stadia. I do think that it took too long, but if you're going to pick it up, you want to pick it up as soon as possible, because it's on sale right now for, what is it, like $28 or something like that?
$34 Canadian. I don't know the exact price, but yeah, it is definitely on sale right now, and it's a good time to grab it if you're interested.
All right, let's move in to the new releases other than Madden. We've got some new releases this week. We've got Gods Will Fall. I believe that came out today, or maybe it was yesterday. Gods Will Fall, Tohu, which we already talked about, Madden, obviously. Phoenix Point, which is a XCOM style, made by the same publisher and developer as XCOM. XCOM style turn-based strategy game. So if you really like XCOM, you're going to enjoy Phoenix Point most likely. Hitman 3, obviously, and then Scott Pilgrim versus the World. The one of these that I'm probably most interested in trying out that I haven't played yet is Phoenix Point. I think that one looks really, really good. I heard that it launched not so hot on PC, but I guess they've kind of righted the ship since then. And so it's definitely something that I'll look into maybe when the price comes down, but it looks pretty cool. Anything in here jumping out at you at Gods Will Fall or Phoenix Point is something that you're going to be interested in, Lloyd?
Phoenix Point looks really good. I love turn-based strategy games. That's a game that I'm excited to pick up at some point down in the future. Gods Will Fall looks really interesting. But looking at a bunch of videos for it, and it sounds kind of like a Souls kind of game, where it's incredibly hard and death has a lot of repercussions for you. But it also appears that you have like a bunch of people along with you, and they have different powers and things like that. So I'm not super familiar with the franchise. I actually thought Gods Will Fall was a different game, because there's so many games that have come out recently that have the title Gods in it. So I was really confused. But when I looked into it, I'm like, oh man, this looks really interesting. So that's a game I may have to snag a copy when I have some free time and give it some time, because it looks very interesting.
Each week, Google has their community.stadia.com official blog, and on Tuesdays, usually Tuesdays, they post the This Week in Stadia. And so they've got some stuff on there that we'll talk about. So we already talked about the games that are hitting this week. There's new pro games that are coming tomorrow, actually.
Yes.
So we got Journey to the Savage Planet, Employee of the Month Edition, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and Enter the Gungeon. I don't know. I haven't played Journey to the Savage Planet. I know you have, so I'll let you talk about that one. Enter the Gungeon, if you haven't bought it, you are in for an absolute treat. This game is fantastic. So much fun, really, really hard, but also really rewarding. It's really, really great. You use guns to fight other guns, and it's procedurally generated and really fantastic. Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light is like a top-down isometric Tomb Raider game, which is really cool. Talk about Journey to the Savage Planet, Lloyd. I know that you played that on Switch, right?
I played it on Switch and Xbox. Check out the two different experiences that were there for that game. It's interesting. So you know how we have like Rogue is a game and they make roguelikes. Then they have like a Castlevania. Castlevania Symphony of the Night came out, and it took kind of what Metroid did and expanded it. So they started calling games like that Metroidvanias. So you have these kind of things like that. Journey to the Savage Planet is kind of like that, but it's more of a Metroid Prime like. So it's not as Vania like as Metroid Prime was. But basically, you're an employee for I think it's like the third best corporation in the world, and there's a lot of humor into it. Like you have advertising and commercials and all this stuff happening in the world. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but a lot of the game involves scanning things, just like you did in Metroid Prime, where you bring up your visor and scan everything in the environment to try to get 100% of all the enemies, all the flora, all the fauna, all everything. The game is very much like that. So it's it takes some of the Metroidvania kind of thing where you need a power to get to an area, but it's more about going around, scanning things, figuring out weird stuff about all the enemies, and using that to further your adventure into the world. It's hilarious, and I can't wait to see what is coming in the Employee of the Month edition. There's a bunch of ads that has this scientist guy. He kind of like a Friar Tuck kind of look, but it's everyone is kind of hilarious, and they promise that they've added a bunch more commercials that this guy did.
They're part of the game.
And
I thought it was just an advertising campaign for the game. I didn't realize that. Oh, I'm looking forward to this game.
It is, but it's also in the game, and it's very much there's been other games like that where they have just these crazy ads that you hear all the time, and then you kind of get to know these virtual properties. Journey to the Savage Planet is very much like that, and I can't wait to give it a go on Stadia. 60 frames a second, 4K, probably not full 4K resolution, but I'll be playing it on my 4K screen, and it's going to look beautiful, play beautiful, and there's a lot of laughs to be had there.
Yeah, and for those of you who are unaware, this is by, I believe it's Typhoon Studios, which was acquired by Google last year. So this, of course, this is a game that comes as a pro game. I feel like that they haven't come out and said it, but I feel like it's a kind of a foregone conclusion that every single first party, although I guess is this second party or first party? Google owns them, but it's not
first.
This is first party. Okay.
Yeah.
I always get confused with first and second party. So. This is, I think that we will see all of the first party games come as part of our subscription to Stadia Pro, which is awesome. I think that that's a really good move. They've continued in the This Week in Stadia blog post, and they posted, this is really cool, you know, State Share. They posted Hitman State Shares in their blog post, which is really, really cool.
So good.
But if you didn't know, Hitman has these cool this feature that right now it's the only game. There's also Crata, but it's the only game that's really taken advantage of it in the way that we thought about. And you can like make your own missions and contracts and stuff in Hitman, and then share it with a link. And like I did a video earlier this week where I had to eliminate a reporter dressed as Santa Claus, and it was awesome. And I found three different ways. Well, I did it three times and put it all in the video. It's I guess like a 10-minute video or something. You guys should check that out. Have you mentioned that you've been playing Hitman? I have just been doing like that kind of stuff. I haven't done like just the regular, I haven't been playing the regular missions. I've just been playing the State Share missions.
Right.
What's your thoughts on it? What have you been doing? I mean,
I've been trying to make my way through the story a little bit, but replaying levels multiple times to get some of the other unlockables that I want to have. During Stadia Bash, I did the second and third level of Hitman 3. Second level was super fun. The mansion that you're exploring is just so detailed. But then the third level is a rave at an old decommissioned nuclear power station. So you have like those big the big stone concrete stacks that you're walking around and stuff like that. It's almost like I'm in Fortnite during one of those stacks, and it didn't shoot me up in the air like it does on Fortnite. So I was kind of sad about that. But that's mainly what I've been doing, is just making my way through the story and then replaying the missions multiple times to get the various unlockables that you can extract from them.
Yeah, the thing about Hitman that is so awesome is its replayability factor. Yeah. You could just keep going back and doing things completely different. I think that's awesome. And I can't wait to dive into it more. I'm a little by the way, speaking of, you know, we've got so many games to play. I meant to say this before. One of the reasons why I haven't picked up Phoenix Point yet is because I'm still playing Valkyria Chronicles, and that's a turn-based strategy game. And I don't want to cross the streams, so to speak. no pun intended, like I was trying to make a Ghostbusters reference. I don't want to get confused with that, and so I'm trying to separate them instead of jumping right into the next thing, because I've been having so much fun with Valkyria Chronicles. All right, let's move on. And one of your favorite games from last year is getting DLC. Immortals Fenyx Rising. You want to talk a little bit about that? I don't know anything about this particular story because I haven't put very much time into Gods and Monsters at all.
Well, Immortals Fenyx Rising was my game of the year. I loved it so darn much. So the first of three DLCs just dropped. It's called A New God. There's a bunch of other powers that you can earn just through playing this DLC. And it's more set up. There's a free trial for people that don't have the season pass or bought this particular DLC. There's one mission, and that you can do for free. It's part of the game, just to give you a teaser. And basically what this involves is very hard physics and extra superpower dungeons. So you need to really know how to use your dash and your hammer and your everything, your little blades that jump you up in the air. You have to know all of those powers really well to get through these dungeons. So for people that said that the game was too easy, this is more a lot more difficult. It even starts using some of the elemental physics that Breath of the Wild had, where you could drop a piece of metal in water and then hit it with lightning, and then the water would get electrocuted and people would die. It has some of that, so you can complete puzzles by creating by joining one power socket to another power socket by putting metal blocks and things like that. So they're taking the Legend of Zelda stuff and cranking it up to 11 in this one. So if you thought it was too easy before, this is definitely not that.
Kodiak Moonwolf in chat is comparing it to, or he's asking if you're comparing it to the Champions Ballad DLC in Breath of the Wild.
Kind of. There's new powers, but a lot more dungeons that are very difficult compared to the ones that are already in the game. So I'm excited to check out. I haven't played any of this yet. I wanted to do it on Friday, and the day got away from me. So that may be a later tonight thing. But some of the powers that you unlock sound pretty interesting. So I want to be able to check all that stuff out.
So one of the things that you can depend on, like clockwork, is that Peggy and the ESRB will leak information. I don't understand how they can't how they cannot figure this out. But they will leak information early about a game. Now, if you're not familiar with who the ESRB or Peggy is, it is the software ratings board, basically, that says this is a game that's, you know, rated M, and this is a game that is rated E or whatever. And there's a game that is, I think, is one of the best arcadey competitive games out there. And that's Killer Queen Black. And that has been rated by Peggy for Stadia. Unfortunately, there's a weird thing. If you look at the release date for when it's supposed to be out, it says January 26th, 2021. So I'm not sure what exactly is going on there, because it's clearly past January 26th and Killer Queen Black is not on there. Let me explain to everybody what Killer Queen Black is, because it is one of the weirdest games that you've ever heard of. And when I tell you about it, you're going to say, well, that sounds way too weird, but it works. So it's a 4-on-4, kind of like Battle Arena, and it's side scrolling, and you have three different types of characters. You've got like these little worker guys. You're all bugs, by the way. You've got these little worker guys. You've got a queen, and then you've got like the fighters. And there's three ways to win. You can win by, you can win by collecting berries as the little worker guys and filling up your berry board before the other team does. You can win by killing the queen of the other team, or you can win by riding a snail across a finish line. I know it sounds weird, but it's awesome. And Killer Queen Black has crossplay on all other platforms that it's on right now. So I think it's safe to say that when it comes to Stadia, it will also have crossplay and you'll be able to play with everybody else. It is a ridiculously good game. Have you played this game, Lloyd?
I've never played Killer Queen. This is a game that I wanted to play in the, like on a barcade or whatever, that where they would go around from bar to bar to bar. It came, the big four player cabinet thing came to Winnipeg once for one of the indie game developers things that was happening here, and I wanted to get out there, couldn't get out there to try it. It just sounds like so much fun. Then it came to Switch and I was super excited about it and just never picked it up. There's just always too much going on. So that's pretty cool that it's coming to Stadia, and I think a game like this belongs on a platform like Stadia, where at any point you can fire it up on your phone and you can play, continuing on the progression that you've made, unlocks and whatever your scores. I have a 17-0 win record or whatever. You can continue that from anywhere because it's in the cloud. I think it's a great game for to end up in the cloud that way.
Yeah, and it's really, really fun. They also have this cool thing where they have a Twitch stream. I don't know if they're still doing it. They were when they first brought it out. Basically, they have what's known as the Black Team, which is the team that is doing better than everybody else. And that team continually changes. So if you beat the Black Team, you are now the Black Team. And because it's an online game, that they just stream the Black Team all the time.
Wow.
So whoever happens to be the best at the moment is streaming on like their official Twitch channel or whatever. I think it's really cool. And I am a big fan of the, if you like Joust, remember Joust? If you like Joust, you're probably going to like Killer Queen Black. And if you are not old like me, then like us, sorry, then you probably don't know what Joust is, in which case I feel really bad for you because that game's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, it is a fantastic title, and I'm glad that it's getting new life on a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah. All right. Hello Neighbor, Hello Engineer is having closed beta test signups. There is a link in the, I don't know if I put the link in the description yet. I will try and remember to put a link in the description later. But if you just look for at Neighbor Games HQ on Twitter, you can find a link so that you can sign up. If you don't know what Hello Engineer is, it is this weird building game. They showed off coming to Stadia where like you can build like engines and stuff with gears and things like that. It's kind of a sandboxy building game, like Minecraft, but with like machines and stuff that you can make. It looks really cool. I don't care about the Hello Neighbor universe at all, but I like the idea of what I'm seeing with Hello Engineer. So I signed up for the beta test, and hopefully we get in, but now you can sign up for the beta test. So if you've, again, that's Neighbor Games HQ on Twitter, and you can sign up for the beta test. Are you interested in this game at all, Lloyd?
Not so much. I mean, Hello Neighbor, no, like zero about Hello Neighbor interests me. But the fact that this is a Hello Neighbor engineer, it reminds me kind of what Banjo-Kazooie did, where they were like crazy. And then it's like, here's nuts and bolts. You can make your own vehicles. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this looks like a different Banjo-Kazooie game. I want to play this one. It's kind of the same feeling for me with Hello Engineer.
All right, let's move on. K's and the Wild Masks. I don't have anything really to say about this other than it looks like a cool platformer. Is coming on March 26th to Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, Steam, and Stadia as well. This is from their official tweet that they did a few days ago. You play as a rabbit, and then you put on these masks, and you can use these masks to get different powers. I watched the trailer for it. It reminded me a little bit of what's the one where you a monster boy... and you turn into like pigs and lions and stuff.
Monster Boy in
Cursed Kingdom
and the Cursed Kingdom.
There you go. It reminded me of that a little bit.
It looks really interesting. It looks more 2D platformer than puzzler. When I first heard the name of it, I thought it would be more of like an RPG puzzler kind of game. It looks interesting, and the fact that we're getting more and more kind of third parties, including the little Stadia logo at the end of their advertisements, that makes me really, really excited. I talked about it a little bit on Cloudburst yesterday, another show that I'm a part of. And we were talking about other cloud platforms need to get their logos at the end. And I'm like, there are no other cloud platforms that could put their logo at the end, because Xbox isn't going to put Xbox Cloud Streaming along with Xbox One and Xbox Series X. And Luna isn't quite there. And then you have Shadow and GeForce Now, which really aren't their own platforms. They play games that are already on PC. So having the Steam logo kind of says that they could come to those platforms as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool seeing Stadia in more and more and more advertisements.
Yeah. I also, you know, a lot of people get upset when they don't see that logo on a game. And I always want to say, you know, just because it's not there doesn't mean that it's not coming to that platform. It might just mean that, you know, the Stadia release is further behind the others, which wouldn't be a huge surprise as the, as you know, because my wife just handed me a water cause I was thirsty and I got distracted. Thank you, honey. it's a new platform. And so, you know, everybody hasn't been able to hit the ground running. And so a lot of times these games are going to come out much later than others, and they don't want to advertise it on, let's say, Stadia, and then maybe it's 6 months later or something, and there's people who didn't buy the game because they were like, well, I'm gonna wait. But right. Then, you know, like they've got a Nintendo Switch and they could buy it right now, you know what I mean? They want people to strike while the iron's hot. Does that make sense?
Yeah for sure. It's just a really good thing to see the logo popping up in more and more places.
Oh, I agree.
It's starting to show kind of the thing maturity of the platform, which is a really good thing. Ganja in the chat room saying, wasn't K's part of the Stadia Makers program? I believe it was. I'm trying to look for a list of games and I can't find it right now. My Googling skills are failing me this morning, but I believe it might have been. That would explain why it's coming to Stadia on day one, which is a great thing. I hope there's more of those in the future.
All right, let's move on. We've got some topics that people have sent in for us to discuss. First one comes to us from Smiley. They said, from someone who adores Google Stadia, can it really capture its own online multiplayer base in this divided field? I'm just super scared to invest heavily in Stadia, but I want to, though. Smiley. Well, thank you very much for submitting. If you want to submit a topic like Smiley did, just go to nerdnest.tv/submit. Lloyd, what are your thoughts on this?
I think the install base on Stadia is just too small right now to have a really robust online library for any game right now. I think we need more players. You have a game that people have been hyped for forever coming out in Outcasters, and it takes minutes sometimes to find a match there. The good thing is all that will go away with time. The more people that are on a platform, the more people that will be playing these games.
Can I interrupt
But
real quick?
yeah, go for it.
So like you say, the over time that's going to go away. The issue with other consoles is that by the time they build up that mass, they have to reset and start again at zero. That's not ever going to be the case with Stadia. It just will continue to build over years and years and years and years and years. Go ahead with your point.
And that was kind of my where I was going with this
Oh,
too,
sorry.
that it is going to take time. And the good thing about Stadia is there's no installation, there's no downloads. So in 3 years, you could fire up your copy of Outcasters and hopefully find other people in 3 years that are playing it at that exact same time, because no one's going to have to download and patch and all that stuff. It's just all those games are living up in the cloud. So it is unfortunate that more games aren't coming out that have at least PC and Stadia crossplay, if not all consoles and Stadia crossplay, because it is tough to find matches in a lot of these games right now.
Yeah, and we talked a lot at the beginning about Madden. I fully expect that it will be very hard to find an online match in Madden after the free pro weekend is over. But I mean, for me, I don't want to sound selfish. That doesn't affect me. I'm not going to play with randoms. I'll play against Lloyd. I'm
You'll
not going
create
to
a
play
league.
against randoms. I'm just not interested in that. What'd you just say? I kind of talked over you.
I said, or people will create leagues, and there'll be a number of Stadia leagues that are running around. So you have your multiplayer kind of built into that organization of creating a league. But yeah, the like you fire up Halo. I was playing Master Chief Collection with my son the other weekend, and you fire up multiplayer. And you can find a Halo 3 multiplayer match in no time on Xbox, just because there's so many people playing it, and it's also a free game if you have Game Pass. So there's just so many people in that ecosystem. We need more people as part of Stadia, as one of the Stadians, to keep playing multiplayer. But that will come in time.
I agree. Let's move on to our second submission that was sent to us at nerdnest.tv/submit. This one comes from Cannoli do so much, it feels like we've got more cannolis on the brain here. They said, each day that goes by, we get one step closer to experiencing what a cloud-native game will be. Thinking about Stadia still being new and wanting people to try their platform and games, would it be beneficial to have a massive, well-known IP like D&D, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, or etc., or for them to forge their own stories and own IP? I think I know my answer instantaneously. Lloyd, what's yours?
I mean, well known. Getting a Star Wars game that is only on Stadia would be huge. I don't think any studio is going to do that because they like money. So I don't think that that's going to happen. But it would be fantastic to see something that has a really good IP. Like maybe Google has a partnership with, I don't know, name a movie that's coming out soon. The new Matrix, the new Matrix. So the new Matrix is coming out at some point in between
Really?
now and 7 years from now. Yeah, Matrix 4
I did not
is
know
being
that.
worked on. Yeah, they're working on new Matrix. And you could have a Matrix game that takes place in the Matrix, being cloud gaming on Stadia,
Oh my
and have it
God.
massively multiplayer, have all this stuff happening. That would be huge. But Google would pretty much have to 100% fund that. And who knows, maybe that's what they're doing in their Stadia Games and Entertainment division. Maybe they are doing something crazy with a known IP. But yeah, I think the install base is just so low right now that convincing a publisher or a developer team convincing their publisher that this is a good idea is going to be hard. But that will come in time for sure.
I do think that it would absolutely help to say, because you say, we'll say Outcasters. You say Outcasters, and people are like, what the hell is that? You say Star Wars, and people are like, they're going to line up no matter what. There are going to be
Sure.
people who look at this and they say, well, yeah, we're going to play Star Wars no matter where we can. So that makes a lot of sense. I agree with you that I don't see it happening right away. And in the long run, in the short term, it would be a huge help. But in the long run, I think it would be a blip and wouldn't really matter. Because at the end of the day, it's all about how well does the game actually play, not which characters you're playing as. You know, I'm going to talk about Nintendo for a second. I was playing the demo for Bravely Default 2, and Bravely Default 2 is a Final Fantasy game. Mm-hmm. It's a Final Fantasy. The first one was also a Final Fantasy game. If they had called it Final Fantasy Bravely Default, it would have sold a billion more copies than it already does. easily. But they decided to go with something different, although everything is the same. You got four heroes. They're the heroes of light. They're chasing down crystals. It's a Final Fantasy game. But at the end of the day, I play it because it's really, really good, not because it's a Final Fantasy game. And so even if they did go out of their way and bring a big old bag of money and fork it over to somebody and say, here's your Matrix 4 money. We're going to make Matrix the game in the Matrix, which is an awesome idea, Lloyd. At the end of the day, it still just has to be a good game. And if it's a good game, then the IP really doesn't matter, in my opinion. But it would help in the short run. All right, let's move on to our third submission. This one comes to us from Memento Ludi. They said State Share, Stream Connect, Crowd Choice, Crowd Play, Google Assistant, Stadia now has a lot of amazing features that are starting to be used in some games. Let's pretend you're a game developer. Can you think of a single game that makes great use of all of these features? So how would you, I think he's saying, how would you use all of those features in a game?
So if I'm a developer making a new game, how would I use all of the features? Something like a hide and seek game where you can have Stream Connect. You can see everybody else's, like, say if you're ghosts and say we'll use Pac-Man as the IP, even though it's not going to be a Pac-Man game. So you have one person chasing 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 other people. All those other people can see everybody else's viewpoint except for Pac-Man, and Pac-Man can't see anybody else's viewpoint. So that would get the Stream Connect thing going. State Share is how you could share the specific maze multipliers. Some games use that as a way to kind of mutate the rules of the particular match. Multipliers, some games call it different things, doesn't really matter. So you could have State Share for that. You could have Crowd Choice. So when people are watching you streaming, they could choose kind of what happens. Like the maze has walls that drop down to the floor. And then you could have Google Assistant. I don't even know how you're going to use Google Assistant. I don't know how that would be
to launch the game.
So maybe to launch the game, but because when you do it inside of a game, it kind of takes everybody out of the experience because you everything gets quiet and you get the little things at blipping and waiting for you. But yeah, you could have Crowd Play, Crowd Choice, Stream Connect, and State Share all built into kind of like a hide and seek thing. I think that would be awesome.
Okay, I was going to say, I wouldn't use all of them in one game. I would use the ones that make sense for my game. But you came up with a game that it made sense for. And people are saying, you mean Dead by Daylight?
I didn't want to use a game that already existed. So I was trying to invent a new game. But yeah, Dead by Daylight could definitely use all these other things.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for the suggestion. If you guys have ideas for how games could use these features, leave them in a comment down below on our YouTube channel. What I will say is that I tweeted this out earlier this week, I think it was a couple days ago, and I said, you know what would be amazing is if you're watching the Pro Bowl or the Super Bowl and every, like, you have it open on Twitter, you have a hashtag on Twitter that says State Share Super Bowl or something. And so they say that, you know, they watch the last play that runs and then somebody picks that play on the menu and then they do a state share. So then you get to play the play, the exact same play that was just called on the game. That would be really, really cool. Unfortunately, EA did not take advantage of state share on Stadia. I think sports games can really do some amazing things with state share. It's too bad that we don't have any that have state share. So I guess our hopes and our dreams are all going to be pinned on hockey, where, you know, your Winnipeg Jets can go up against my Dog River River Dogs, and we can play using state share with that. Fingers crossed. Yep. Not going to happen, though.
That would be a really good way for state share. Even filling out like a league, you could have a state that goes up there for the nerdy league. Click this link, jump into the game, and you're immediately in the league planner. So you can choose whatever team you want to play and see how your matches would kind of slot out. So there's a lot of like really interesting ways that developers could incorporate state share into their games, just to even just fill out a calendar for matches and things like that.
All right. Moving on, we've got some super chats that have come in during the show. Thank you very much for the support, everybody. We do appreciate it. Mind at Play sent in a super chat at $10.95. Thank you very much for supporting at that level. And they said, the Madden 21 free trial mode made buying an easier decision for me. Do you think that this business model should be applied to all future Stadia releases? A try before you buy approach. All the best. I'm going to go first. I think that it should be not limited to pro. It should be everybody can try a demo. Demos sell games if your game is good. If your game is bad, it doesn't help. If your game is good, if you believe that you have made a good game, you should absolutely have a demo, because then people will buy it because they've had a chance to try it. It lowers the friction. And the thing about Stadia that makes it so amazing is that there's no download to happen, and people cannot like hack the system to keep playing the demo indefinitely. That's happened in the past before. You get on the game, you start playing. When your time is up, your time is up, and that's all there is to it. Mind at Play, thank you for the question. Lloyd, what are your thoughts?
I think demos are a good thing. The nice thing about Google is Google's already given us that. You can essentially buy a game and refund it if you've played it for less than 2 weeks, if you've owned it for less than 2 weeks and played it for less than 2 hours. So if you're really wondering if you like a game, you can try it. And if it doesn't speak to you, you can refund it. Of course, playing games for 2 hours and refunding and going through that process is annoying. And I'm sure Google can undo this this rule at any point. But that is a good little bit of consumer support that Google has baked right into their store.
That's true. I also feel like if you abuse it too much, then they will just say, guess what? You, Lloyd Hannison, no longer are able to take advantage of that. So I will just say, and there, I don't think that there's anything anywhere that says that that's abuse, but I don't know. It feels kind of, if it doesn't feel great. I remember, you know, I'm old. So back in the day, you could buy video games in a store and then you could return them. Like you could return them, because back then the customer was always right, and you walked in and you said, this game's terrible, give me my money back. And then you turn around and buy another game. And my friends and I abused that because we were little kids and we didn't care about the ethics of it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that I think that while yes, you can do, I would be wary of it, because you don't want to get your account shut down because you are abusing the system or something like that. I don't know. But you know what? Lloyd likes to live dangerously. That's why his beard's so long.
Yeah, I don't refund very many purchases, but it's nice knowing that the feature is there in case something is just so horribly busted that you feel like you'd waste your money. I remember the whole returning video games thing, and I can remember saving up for a quarter of a year, a third of a year, saving all my allowance and doing chores and mowing people's lawns, and then going to buy a game and beating it in 2 hours and being so disappointed, and then feeling incredibly guilty about going back to the store and returning it, thinking that they're going to yell at me or something. There was a game on Sega Master System called Cyborg Hunter, which I saved up forever because it looked so cool, and I beat it in under 2 hours. And I've never felt so ripped off in my entire life, in my young life. So went and traded it in and got a different game.
I don't blame you at all. We'll talk more on we'll do like a retro chat sometime and talk about all of this old stuff, because it's always fun to get a little nostalgic there. Sukotronics sent in a super chat with no comment. Thank you very much for the support, Suko. Ruben DeJailing sent in a $6.66 chat. That kind of creeps me out, little man. He said
he did 5 euros, which converted to that. Oh. So I don't think that was specific. I think it was just a conversion thing.
Okay, there you go. He says some support for the Cat Track Fund. Woo, go cats. Also, please use some of the money to start an awesome beard club. I think we can pull it off. Well, my beard, I keep mine pretty short. So I don't think I'm allowed to join the club. I think... I will find and drop a picture in our community Discord link down below a little bit when I had a longer beard, and I looked like a crazy man. So I looked like some guy that just walked out of the woods. Olafur, thank you very much, by the way. Olafur Arison. Sent in a chat, or a super chat. They said, still stuck on a game-breaking bug in Phoenix. Go do hero things, waiting until they fix it. Have you run into any game-breaking bugs in the game? Because I didn't play it very much.
No, I completed the game, but I didn't beat every single trial dungeon. So maybe there's some dungeons that I can't complete. But I believe that's just one of the missions. And no, I was able to complete that. So... that sucks. Hopefully Ubisoft can patch that for you.
I don't know what people are talking about in chat, but I see that they're talking about E.T. for the Atari 2600. I think that game is better than people. People are mean to that game, and they shouldn't be, although it's not great.
It's horrible. It's not one of the, it's not the worst game ever made, but it is definitely not a good game.
that's how I feel too. Consino sent in a super chat as well. They said, Lloyd, representing Nerd Nest well again yesterday. Was that the Stadia bash?
Cloudburst.
Okay. They said, just curious to hear you both talk about the criticism that Stadia needs to communicate more what games are coming. To me, it just seems like normal winter lull. Okay, so it's not Stadia's job to announce games. It's the publisher's jobs to announce games.
100%.
Yeah,
So that's what I said on Cloudburst, and there was a bit of an argument and a back and forth that no, Google needs to get in front of these announcements and announce them the proper way. To which I said, contracts go both ways. The publisher or the platform holder can breach the contract. So publishers can't talk about features that are coming to Stadia, and just like Stadia can't talk about games that are coming to the platform because there's a contract there. They could enter other contracts. They could say, hey, EA, can we talk about your new Star Wars game that is coming just to Stadia? And can we be the one that announces it? And EA can go, yes, we agree with that. And they sign a contract saying that that happens. But Stadia can't just randomly say, hey, by the way, EA is working on a new Star Wars game that no one knows about, and it's coming just to Stadia, because that would breach contracts.
Yeah, and then there's going to be somebody who says, well, then why are they making these contracts the way that they are? And that's because the publishers want to be in control of their own messaging. The same reason why Microsoft or Sony, they don't announce most of the games. Now, they might partner with somebody, and so during like a state of play or whatever the Microsoft Live thing is, I can't remember because it's not very well named. Or during a Nintendo Direct, like those companies will then make announcements. It's not because they just decided we're going to make these announcements. It's because they partnered with those companies to make those announcements. So to me, it doesn't make sense for people to throw shade at Stadia because they aren't announcing games. It's not their job. Their job is to provide a platform for game developers to sell their games on. And I think it's going pretty well. I have so many games, I can't play them all. I know that there are people out there who think there aren't enough games on Stadia. None of those people are me. I'm having a blast. I have tons of games to play. Would I like other games to come to Stadia? Absolutely. But people have a tendency to look at what they don't have instead of what they do have. And I think that's a big mistake that people make. Thank you for the question, Consino.
And just one last point. How many games have been canceled right before coming out because of contractual issues, because of a game breaking bug and just changing market conditions? Like, there's so many games. Like, a video just surfaced yesterday of a remake of GoldenEye that was supposed to come to Xbox Live Arcade, but it never came out. So what would happen if Microsoft got out ahead? I mean, they owned Rare, so it's kind of a bad example. But what if they got out ahead of Rare and saying, hey, by the way, everybody, there's going to be a new GoldenEye remake on Xbox Live Arcade, only on Xbox Live Arcade. It's going to be fantastic. And then Rare's like, holy crap, we're not ready to announce this. We haven't even signed a contract with whoever owns the IP now for this movie. What are you doing? A platform holder can never talk about a game before the publisher wants them to do it. It's not something that can happen.
All right, moving on. Anthony Talcott sent in a super chat. He said, hey guys, due to work, I've been playing games like Pokemon and Digimon. Quick to jump in monster games. Are there any genres you're drawn toward, especially after a tough work week? I'm going to let you go first while I think.
Yeah, the games that I love are big open world RPGs like Skyrim or Fallout. Basically anything that's made by Bethesda, I guess. I can quickly jump in. I know the world. I know what to do. I'm working on this skill. I want to get that archery skill. I want to do this. I want to do that. That is a genre that has gotten me through a lot of tough times that have come over the years, and I love it up to this day. Like, I'll boot up Skyrim on my Xbox just to play it for a half hour, 45 minutes, just to clear the head out a little bit.
I haven't played it in ages because my PS4 is not hooked up right now. I didn't have enough HDMI ports for everything. But Apex Legends is incredibly fun. It is my favorite battle royale shooter, and I just love that kind of gameplay loop. The matches can be over in like 10 minutes or so. If I haven't played in a while, the matches can be over for me in about 5 minutes or so because I get killed pretty quick. But I really like the gameplay loop. Everybody starts fresh at the beginning of the match, and they're over pretty quick, and then you can choose to go on ahead. If I have, you know, had a rough week, and I want to unwind playing a video game, a game like that that has that kind of multiplayer gameplay loop of very quick repetition, that's the kind of thing that I really get into. And I love that game, and I keep my fingers keep getting crossed hoping that it comes to Stadia, because Stadia is the platform that I prefer to play on, and that game is fantastic. Let me ask you a question real quick, Lloyd. I'm looking at our timer. We're actually over time, so this has to be quick. What's your favorite battle royale?
My favorite battle royale, Fortnite.
Yeah, why?
Only when I play. Only when I play. What do you mean? Like it. I love everything about the world. I love the people.
Oh, the only one you play. I thought you said it's only when I play. I was like, I don't understand.
Oh, only when you play. Yeah, no, it's the only one that I do play. I've tried the other ones, but for some reason, the gameplay just never stuck with me. I love the worlds and everything to do with that game.
All right, so thank you very much for the support and the questions through Super Chats. We really do appreciate that. And we had people use the applause button on the show last week after the fact. Thank you very much for that as well. If you enjoyed the show at all, make sure that you click on the buttons down below. I think that we have pretty much wrapped it up. Anything that you want to add before we finish up the show here, Lloyd?
No, I don't think so. It's been a good week, Stadia gamers. Get out there, play some games. Make sure to try out Madden before the free play goes away. If it's a game that you're maybe just curious about but don't want to buy, get out there and play it, because, hey, there's no downloads.
That's right. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.